They say when a baby is born, so is a mother. But while you are there to help your baby grow into the person he or she is meant to be, who is there to help you? Many women feel lost and alone when they become mothers, wondering, who am I now? Sometimes it feels like the transformation from woman to mother is as radical as a caterpillar's transformation into a butterfly. Did you know that inside the chrysalis, the caterpillar literally turns into goop before it rearranges itself into a butterfly? This podcast is about the goop, what soul transformation looks like as you transition from being a woman to a mom. Your baby's growth matters, but yours does too. You're not alone. I'm your host, Brittany Ming. Welcome to the Motherhood Metamorphosis.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Motherhood Metamorphosis. I'm your host, Brittany Ming, and today we are talking with Melissa Davis. She is a certified wellness coach and personal trainer. She has been in the wellness industry for 18 years and truly enjoys helping people reach their wellness goals. So welcome, Melissa. And I just have to say that we grew up together. So it's really great.
We did. Thank you so much for letting me come on today. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm super excited to be able to chat with you. I spent a long time since I got a chance to chat, so
I know.
I'm kind of like catching up and seeing how things are going too. So thanks again.
It's going to be great. So when you messaged me about coming on the show, you said that you'd love to talk about moms and health and stress management. And I thought, wow, that's such a great topic and one that we need to talk about. So tell me your story and why you're passionate about this topic.
Sure. Thanks. So, you know, obviously I've spent the last 18 years in the wellness industry, working with people, and especially this last year, right? We've all been in this pandemic together. We have all had a really tough last 18 months. And so, especially in the industry I'm in, especially as a wellness coach, I have seen a lot of people really start to turn towards, you know, wellness coaching and getting counseling and help because it's been such a trying time. And so just kind of based off of that, I've really had just this huge, you know, pull to help out and just give the tools and the resources to manage these things because it's not easy. You know, we really weren't meant to be this isolated. We weren't meant to be this, you know, excluded from other people. So what can we do? How can we help out? And what can we, you know, on a personal level, like what can we do to make, you know, each day a little bit easier and a little bit easier to go through? So that's been my big passion, my big pull.
Yeah. So when I was thinking about moms and stress in particular, I was thinking about what is it about mom life that is so stressful? Because sometimes from the outside looking in, you're thinking like, okay, especially for stay-at-home moms, or if you have a new baby, you're in those first few months and you think, why is this so stressful? Like, I shouldn't be stressed out. So like from your perspective, or thinking back to like those first like early years of motherhood, because you're, how old are your boys now?
They're about to turn 10 and 12, which rocks my world. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so thinking back to like those baby years or those toddler years, like that stress, like what was it for you that felt really stressful?
Taking myself back in time, that is a little ways away. Yes. But you don't forget those times. You don't forget the being home alone with a 2- and a 4-year-old, trying not to lose your marbles every day. it is definitely, something that I went through, obviously, and a lot of what I leaned into, and we kind of talked a little bit about this ahead of time, but obviously your faith is what definitely kind of gets you through that. But obviously, the wellness side of things for me, I leaned into a lot of my workouts and, you know, healthy eating and things like that. That's where I really kind of used a lot of the tools that I had. So it's learning how to do self-care, right? Especially in those when you are overwhelmed with the task of, you know, trying to keep things together. You've got 2 kiddos or 3 kiddos or whatever that looks like for you. And then for some people, you know, you're balancing a job, you're balancing kids, you're balancing the sports activities, you're trying to be social yourself. You know, we forget about that, especially when you have little bitties. You know, you kind of get absorbed into their world and you get absorbed into taking care of them. And we forget about us. We totally put all of those needs aside. And that's what causes so much difficulty for some of us that go through, you know, everybody kind of paints this portrait of after you have kids, it's this glorious bliss and you're just going to be happy and you're going to have these immediate connections to your kids and it's going to be fantastic. You know, you have that white picket fence, you know, image, and come to find out life was hard. Life is really hard. And when it's really tough, like, what can you do? What are some of the things that you can do to stop and think about yourself for 5 seconds? It really is that analogy of the oxygen mask. You have to fill yourself first before you can fill another cup. And so that's really what, when I think back to that time, I think of all the stressors. At the time, you know, I was home quite a bit with my kids. It was just me and my kiddos for a lot of that. And so it was time management. It was, you know, managing their time, my time, so that we could be somewhat normal. If you can say normal, if that's the thing.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. I was thinking today, just I'm potty training my daughter right now. She's two. And just this idea of like, she's doing really well, but I don't know, the idea of like stopping everything and be like, okay, potty, 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 run to the potty. And then there's like a little pot of pee, like in my living room that I have to remember to dump so that nobody trips on it.
Right.
And then she's walking around like with her pants around her ankles. And I'm like chasing her, trying to help pull her panties up, and then like emptying the potty and rinsing it. And then I have to remember like, what was I doing before
we had this
potty interruption? And then I'm like, oh, maybe I should brush my hair and like, I'll brush my teeth. And then it's like 10:30 in the morning and you think, I should probably put on pants today. Or maybe not. Like,
try that. I should try this.
And she's two. Like, I don't even have an infant right now. I have had that 2 year gap. And that was insane. Mm-hmm. That was like my worst. I won't say my worst. It was my hardest gap.
It's difficult.
Yeah. It's especially difficult. When you are like, your 2 year old needs you so much and then your baby needs you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And their needs take up your entire day. And I think that's when it gets to the end of the day and you're like, wow, I didn't get dressed. I didn't drink water and I'm breastfeeding. Right. So like, I should probably drink water.
Probably think about that, right?
Yeah. So if you as a wellness coach, and that's your passion, mm-hmm. you have this mom who has a 2 year old and a newborn who mm-hmm. like doesn't drink any water until 4:30 in the afternoon. Like,
right.
What encouragement would you give her as she's trying to care for herself and these little ones? Like, what practical advice can you give her in her life?
Absolutely. So first things first, obviously, you know, good for you for taking the steps to be a mom. You know, remember to be nice to yourself, be kind to yourself. I tell so many women who've just had babies, I'm like, just be nice to yourself. Give yourself a lot of grace, give yourself a lot of wiggle room. You're going to not be the perfect mom. You're going to forget that they need to have breakfast because you're trying to get the other kid to put together. You're going to get through. But don't forget to take some time, take 5 minutes. And trust me, I know when you have opposite nap schedules, when you have opposite feeding schedules, when life is just crazy, but take 5 minutes before you go to bed, take 10 minutes before you go to bed, or 5 minutes before you wake up in the morning. Just take some time for you. Take some time to meditate, pray, yoga, whatever that looks like for you. Take that time. It is so crucial for you to really be selfish in that minute. And it's hard. It's hard to really think about yourself being selfish. It's hard to say, you know, no, mom needs 5 minutes. Yeah, mom needs 5 minutes. Give mom that 5 minutes. And, you know, set healthy boundaries with your kiddos. If you know that, and I told my kids sometimes, like, mommy needs a timeout. Mommy is going to put herself in a timeout for 5 minutes. And, you know, you could set a timer so that your kids can visually see how long you're going to be in your timeout. But, you know, I mean, especially my kids worked really well with that, like that visual, like they could watch the clock countdown. But I would just be like, look, don't knock on the door for 5 minutes. Give me that time so that I can come out and be a better mom for you. And it really, that is the biggest thing. Don't be afraid to take that time. Don't be afraid to just say, I need that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really good. I think that, you know, like that 5 minute, even like a 5 minute yoga routine or mm-hmm. a walk around the block. Sometimes I think that we can get in our own heads and we think, okay, every day I'm going to walk 30 minutes a day. Like that's going to be my goal. And then at the end of the week, you're like, I walked on Monday and then we got halfway around the block on Wednesday. And we had to go home because Johnny was falling on the sidewalk with his bike.
Yep.
And then I know that I get in my own head and I'm like, you just can't keep a routine. Like, you just aren't exercising. Like, and then
Right.
I'm like, okay, you got to switch the narrative. You have to say, wow, I got out and walked twice this week. That was
Exactly.
great. Like,
You know, you bring up a really good point. You bring up a really, really good point. And this is something that I really have focused on a lot here, actually, in the last even 18 months. And it's actually a book that I just read. It's called The Atomic Habits. I don't know if you've read it or not, but it is a fantastic way of kind of slowing yourself down and saying, what can I do 1% better today than I did yesterday? So, because a lot of people, especially as a wellness coach, come to me and they're like, I want to run a marathon in 6 months. Okay, that's awesome. We're not going to run that marathon today, right? So, what can we do? What baby steps can we be successful with today that gets you to that marathon in 6 months? So, obviously, we're not going to take off and go on a 20-mile run tomorrow. That's not the option. So, what we're going to do is we're going to take this into bite-sized pieces. So, just like you said, yeah, we only made it 2 times this week. That's awesome. I'd much rather you be successful with that 5-minute walk around the block every day than the 20-mile run that you're going to die and hate it, and you're never going to make that other goal. So we need to make small, successful goals to reach. So yeah, it's that 5-minute yoga meditation before bed. It's the 5-minute walk around the block. Count those as a win. Count those as a victory in your box. Like, hold on to that and cheer yourself on with that. Yeah, I made it 2 days in a row. It was 5 minutes, but that's 5 minutes that I'm creating a better habit. I'm creating space for me. That's really, truly what will help you be successful long-term, is set those small, successful goals so that you can really look back and say, oh yeah, that 5 minutes turned into 10, which turned into 15. And now look, here I am, 30 minutes. I'm walking around the block 30 minutes. And it's great. You can give yourself a high five, celebrate that, celebrate the little things.
Yeah. And not self-sabotage and say, well, I only did it one time this week and I wanted to do it like 5 days a week. So I'm a failure.
Right.
Like, that's right. Not showing up one time is a success. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And really own that. Own the fact that you're really starting those right habits, because those right habits build into long-term habits. Mm-hmm. That's huge. I agree.
Yeah. So talk to us about did you ever have a time in your life where you stopped exercising for a while, or you had a big goal that you were going for? And what did that look like for you getting back into it or pursuing a new goal with your fitness or your wellness?
Sure. Obviously, postpartum, you really have to take a break after postpartum. And so I'll be really honest, my second son destroyed me. and if you've been pregnant, you know what that means, like everything. So after I had Colt, he's my youngest, literally 6 weeks after I had him, I had just been cleared by my physician to get back to working out. My gallbladder freaked out postpartum. If you're not familiar with that, sometimes if you are pregnant, your gallbladder will freak out randomly. It's great. I had emergency surgery, but I had surgery that next week, which was also the week before Christmas and New Year's. That's a great time to have a surgery, by the way. So I had just had that surgery done. And then, 8 weeks shortly after that, I had just barely recovered from that and found out I had to get a bilateral inguinal hernia repair surgery done. Oh. So after Colt, it was like 3.5 months of like, it was rough. And then of course I had postpartum depression on top of all of that. I mean, like, it just built, like, it was this giant snowball of fantastic life events. And so that was a time where you really, especially as a trainer and a personal trainer and now wellness coach, it was one of those times in my life where I really was like, wow, I am grateful for my health first and foremost, because yeah, I had to take 3 months roughly off after all of that, because especially after the hernia surgery, you can't lift anything over, I think it was like 8 pounds, something random. And I'm like, yep, this is great. I have a newborn, I have a 2-year-old, and I can't pick up anything for the next, 6 weeks. This should be fun. So yeah, it is definitely one of those moments where you stop and you have to really recenter yourself. And when you go back to the gym, especially for somebody who's been in the gym, who was working out, was healthy ahead of time, coming back to that really, it was actually really good as a personal trainer to have to experience that, to come back to someone who's never come into a gym before, who's come from a lot of, injuries or background and having to step foot into that. It was, you know, even though I was a personal trainer, it was still intimidating walking back into that gym for the first time after not having done it for 3 months. You're like, I don't even feel like I know where I'm at anymore. So it was a really good learning opportunity for me to be able to put myself back into somebody's shoes who is intimidated to walk into a gym. Not everybody is comfortable walking into that setting. So it really just kind of flipped my switch a little bit so that I could really feel what other people feel when they come in for the very first time. So that was a huge marker for many reasons in my life, but.
Yeah. And you had to build up your strength again, like, because your muscles hadn't been able to lift. You hadn't been able to, you know, exercise anything the way you were used to, and just really start back almost at square one.
It was totally square one, especially post-surgeries. You know, you had all the incision sites and stuff like that were still healing, recovering. And to be fair, I mean, after you have a baby, I mean, yes, you give birth, but your body still takes up to 4 or 5 months to heal internally. So on top of all of that healing, you're still healing. And then postpartum healing, it was a bit of a, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that can be a real challenge, especially for moms, maybe even first-time moms who their body just rearranged itself for the first time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then afterwards, you're like, okay, what just happened? I brought a pair of pre-pregnancy pants to the hospital with me after I had Micah and Ben, thinking I was going to be able to like pull these pants on. And I'm like, what?
Oh, I know. That's the best joke nobody tells you after that.
Oh, it's going to take a little bit of time.
You're like,
But yeah, so just even fitting in your clothes, but then if you were an active person or you had certain body goals or even body struggles, if you were struggling with your image, after pregnancy can be such a tender time. Talk to us about that. Talk to us about that tender time after you have a baby, and maybe give some encouragement.
Absolutely. Again, it kind of circles back to what I tell people, be kind to yourself. You're right. Especially after I had my first kiddo, I just expected my stomach was going to go back to flat. Like everything was going to deflate. I was going to look amazing because I'd worked out the entire time. Like it was going to be fantastic. Like again, all these like fantasies in your head that go through. And when I walked out of the hospital, and I still looked 7 months pregnant. I was like, this is not a fun game anymore. Game over. Like, this is a cruel, cruel joke. Like I was supposed to walk out looking great after having a baby. Like I said, take the time to let your body heal. And it is very hard. It's very difficult, especially when you're coming back to your, you know, your maternity pants for a month after having a baby.
Like, or longer. Yeah.
Or longer. I mean, it could be, and everybody's body is so different. And that's the biggest thing. Everybody is so different. And we really do get caught up in the society where you have to look amazing. You have to bounce back right after that baby, that you have to be ready to run that marathon in 6 months. Like, you just feel like you need to be that person. And, you know, the hard part is we set all these expectations up. It's kind of like your birth stories. Like when you're like, you have this picture of how your birth is going to go and how this is going to play out in your mind. And then you get there and you're like, whoa. Well, that idea just totally left me. You realize that reality hits. So it's like, set aside what your expectations are. Take every day one day at a time. Again, celebrate the small things. Acknowledge the fact that this is going to be a process. It took 9 months to get the baby here. It's going to take at least 9 months for you to put yourself back together. And that's going to be a whole new you. That's not going to be who you were 9 months ago. That's a totally different person. It's changed you physically. It's changed you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Like, you've just had a total flip of the switch. Like, this is not something that you just wake up and you're like, oh, yep, I was the same person I was yesterday. That's not the same person.
Yeah.
So you now grow and adapt in who that person is. What your expectations are so that you can change who you are as a person. It really just changes every aspect of you.
Yeah. I think that 9 months in, 9 months out is a good baseline, and it can look different for everybody because it might be longer. I remember after I had Mike and Ben, and I had that, you know, afterwards I did lose weight really quickly because I was breastfeeding twins, and I had this pair of jeans that they were my favorite jeans before I had kids. And I thought, okay, now I've lost all this weight, and I even lost more weight than because they were just like sucking it out of me. But those jeans never fit me the same. Like my body, even if I lost all the weight, like my hips were wider, my stomach was like softer, like everything had shifted and they just weren't comfortable for me anymore. And that was just like blew my mind. And I'm like, even if you lost all the weight, like your body literally is different. And so it's okay to just say, these jeans don't fit anymore. Like I'm going to go buy new clothes. That's amazing choice.
And just like we were talking about, so, you know, like you said, buy a new pair, do that, celebrate the new you, be the new you, find something that you're comfortable being your new self in, right? Mm-hmm. So find what you can really get in touch with and be comfortable there.
Insights into Teens, a podcast series exploring the issues and challenges of today's youth. Talking to real teens about real teen problems. Explore issues from braces to puberty, social anxiety to financial responsibility. Each week, we talk about the topics concerning today's youth. We look at how the issues affect teens, how to cope with these issues, and how parents, friends, and loved ones can help teens handle these challenges. Check out our video episodes on youtube.com/insightsintothings. Catch our audio versions on podcast.insightsintoteens.com or on the web at insightsintothings.com.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And just to think, okay, I have to give myself time. Because I expect also after I had Silas, he's my third son after my twins, I expected, okay, I'm going to lose weight really quickly again, like I did with my twins. And I didn't. I hung on to like 15 pounds for a long time. And then it just very gradually went down. And I thought, this is not fun. This is not what I expected. My body did the first time. And now, you know, this is 5 years later and everything's different. So I just had to, every baby's different too. So like after your second.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. Everybody adjusts differently and every pregnancy is so different. And so you can't expect yourself to react the same way postpartum for each pregnancy. Every postpartum is going to have its own story, just like every birth is going to have its own story. So the way that your body handles things, well, mentally, you kind of know after the second or third child, you know how this game goes. Like you've kind of got a game plan going. You're like, you know what to expect. But after that, the postpartum part is just a whole new ball game. And you have to be okay with that. And you just have to relax and let the process do its work. Like just go with it.
Yeah. I think it's being okay with like the introduction to the podcast talks about being in the goop and how you are just dissolving from who you were and being transformed into this new person. But when you're in that goop place, it feels frustrating. It feels unknown and it's hard. So it I think that when you want to feel normal, that can be really difficult. That transformation process.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the articles I remember reading from one that you wrote, it's probably been a couple of years ago now. And I think it was either titled Do the Work or it had something to do with like, do the work. And I remember reading that. And it was at a time where I can't remember when, but it was just the words, like those things have kind of like been seared into my mind. I seriously, like through this last year, even like just do the work. And sometimes that's what we have to do to get through to the next side. You have to just do the work, do the every day, but just be nice to yourself in that process. So yes, well, we're definitely, you know, in the thick of it. You've got, you know, kids, you've got jobs, you've got groceries, you've got sports, you've got the list, right? But just being able to, you know, do the work, be focused on you, be focused on what you need, be focused on what needs to happen next.
Yeah, it's interesting. That article, I called it Two Solutions to My Everyday Jealousy. And the solutions were be content. And sometimes you have to be content. You think, can I do anything about XYZ right now? Am I physically able to? Like after all those surgeries, you're like, the doctor said, no lifting. And you're like, okay, I just have to be content until I'm healed. But the other solution was to do the work. Because otherwise you're just like in that horrible place where you're like, well, she looks amazing, or this person just went to this you know, fitness competition, or this person just got their book published. Like, so it's like looking at it and they're like, okay, I can either be content or I can do the work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I did write that one a long time ago.
It's been a while. It's been a little bit ago.
I'll have to share that one in the show notes. It's old. You guys are probably,
but it's probably one of my favorites. Aww, so
Melissa, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I've been following you for a while. Don't worry.
My blog's been around a couple years on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, this was such a great conversation. I think that it's really going to encourage a lot of women to just be kind to themselves, be patient with themselves, realizing that your journey is going to look different every time, and just to dig in and keep moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just hang on. It gets easier. It gets better. You know, just there's a light at the end of the tunnel, especially now that my kids have reached the ages of 10 and 12. Like they've reached the age where they're independent enough, like they can do their stuff. So it does get easier. The light gets, the load gets lighter. The light does get brighter.
Yeah.
It is motivational. It really is.
So to end our time, I like to ask guests these rapid fire questions, and they're just for fun.
Oh, so, okay. Here we go.
Are you ready? Okay.
I'm ready.
Which Disney princess would you want to take out to coffee?
Oh, Cinderella, of course.
She's been very popular lately. So
has she? Of course. She was with all the horses and the mice and all the, it's just like the pumpkin and the, you know, it's just all the stuff.
What's one thing you must have on your nightstand?
Oh, my glass of water. Note to self, always have water. I always have a glass of water next to my nightstand. Hands down. Yep. That, yep.
Glasses of water. I am a cup hoarder. I just removed
it. No. Right. Glass of water with it.
Yeah. What's your go-to treat after the kids go to bed?
Well, my honest answer is usually either an ice cream or a drink of some sort, an adult drink of some sort.
Yes. Kind of just relax. I think ice cream and like the glass of wine or cider, whatever you is, that's just
something, whatever it is you're into. That's it.
What's an ordinary moment that brings you great joy?
Oh, you know what? I have this phrase I ask my kids every day. And I always tell them, I say, do you know what my favorite part of my day is? And they roll their eyes now because they know the answer. They're like, this is it, mom, this right here. And they say it with sarcasm, but I really try to live in the moment. So I do. I ask my boys, I say, do you know what my favorite part of my day is? And we'll be sitting on the couch, we'll be cuddled up, and I say, this right here, this is my favorite, and this will always be my favorite part of my day.
Oh, so that's really special. I love
that. Yeah, it really is. I mean, they know the phrase now, so they just answer it. But I'm like, no, you don't understand. This really is what fills my soul.
Yeah.
So
that's great. Mm-hmm. Last show you binged and loved?
Ooh, last show. Okay, I literally just watched The Morning Show on Apple TV with Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, and Steve Carell in it. That was my last. I like watched all five episodes back to back. It was bad.
That show has come up on this question more than once, and now I'm like, I need to watch that show.
You have to watch. Make sure you get season one, and then hit season two. It's good. Okay. I'm like, that's not fair. They only put like five episodes. I swear. I'm like, wait a second.
Like, no.
I know. I'm like, who does this? This is like a form of torture.
Yeah. All right. If you run out of this besides milk, you have to go to the store.
Protein. I'm terrible. I'm a true junkie. I'm like, yeah, if I run out of protein powder, we're in trouble.
Gotta go to the store. Who makes you laugh?
Oh, my kids. They're amazing.
Texting or talking?
Oh, text me. Do not call me.
I'm like that too. I do like the Zoom. I like the face-to-face.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a great place and a great time for it. But like, if you have text me, like I'm a texter 100%.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to?
I actually just booked tickets to go home for Christmas for the first time in 7 years. So I am super excited for that.
Are you going to be at your parents' house then?
Yeah, I'll be back at my parents' house. Are you going back for Christmas too?
No, we're going to be here. We've done enough traveling this year. Insane traveling.
So. I can imagine. You guys just got back from England. So I feel like you've had a little bit of travel.
Yeah, we have to stay put for a little bit. All right, last one. Finish this sentence. Motherhood is...
Oh, one word or a phrase?
Whatever. Yeah, you can use a sentence.
The most rewarding job you'll ever have.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. All right, Melissa, I will share your contact information and email in the show notes. If you would like to contact Melissa, if you have questions about fitness or wellness, or if you are local to her, hit her up and she can give you some support. Yeah.
Loved. If you have any questions, don't hesitate. Reach out. I'd be happy to help out.
I'm so glad we got to talk today.
This it's been good.
Hey friends, I'm so glad you chose to spend your time listening to this episode today. I hope it encouraged you and gave you some good food for thought. In 2022, I want to keep bringing thought-provoking, soul-affirming, high-quality content to you. In order to do this, I want to ask you for your financial support. I know this is a sticky topic, and it's weird for me to ask, but I'm going to be vulnerable for a sec. While all the podcasts are free for listeners, the podcast itself has behind-the-scenes costs, like monthly hosting fees, equipment costs, and this is the vulnerable one, financial support for my time. I don't want to put traditional ads on the podcast or do product affiliation because at this time, it's just not me. Though, sidebar, I'd be very interested in ads that promote your businesses, blogs, and projects and help you gain clients, so let me know if that interests you now or in the future. I have set up a Patreon account for the Motherhood Metamorphosis, and if the podcast has benefited your life and motherhood journey, I'd love to ask if you could consider supporting me in 2022. There are three tiers of support at a $2, $3, and $4 per month price range. Supporters will receive various benefits, such as personal shoutouts at the end of the interview episodes, a once-a-month monthly newsletter with sneak peeks at upcoming episodes for the month, plus fun stuff like snarky mom recipes written by yours truly, and access to a bonus solo episode on the last Monday of each month, where I'll share stories about my own metamorphosis and practical insights about how to navigate your own transformation and growth. You can find the Patreon account at patreon.com/themotherhoodmetamorphosis or linked on our Facebook community group page by searching for the Motherhood Metamorphosis podcast. Thank you again for listening and for all your support of this podcast. If you ever have any questions, comments, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please email me at brittanyaming@gmail.com.
Well, I remember watching Cinderella. I think it was either at your birthday party. We watched Brave Cinderella. Did we?
Oh my gosh, probably.
Yes. I think that was the first time I watched that version. And I was like, this is the best ever.
I know. Good, right? That's so good. So good.